Good morning. Welcome to our Monday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. I'm going to be talking and praying this week about the work of giving. And as we follow up from yesterday's message here at Deer Run, as we continue to work through the book of Nehemiah and the Building for Revival series. As Nehemiah brought the people together in chapter 8, they spent time listening to God's word. It was being read out loud and everyone showed up to hear it. Chapter 9, their response to hearing God's word and being convicted was to repent, to confess their sins to God, to agree with God about their sinfulness. And chapter 10, they gather to renew their commitment to the work of giving, to give in a variety of ways, to meet the needs of one another, to meet the needs of the leaders, to meet the needs of those serving within the tabernacle and within the work of the Lord. And so throughout this week, we're looking at various aspects of God's expectation for each one of us regarding this work of giving. Today we're going to focus in on giving to those in need. And we've covered this topic before, but it's an important topic to consider. Jesus said, according to Paul, in Acts, we read it in Luke's writing of Acts, Paul says that Jesus said it was more blessed to give than receive. Matthew 6:3, Jesus says, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." When I've covered this topic before, I generally talk about a variety of things related to it. One is the definition of those in need. We want to define it in ways that limit who we help. Or we want to define it in ways that we're on the receiving end rather than the giving end. But God's direction has more to do with our attitudes of generosity. As I mentioned yesterday in the message, that when we give to those that we love, generally our desire is to give as much as possible. We understand that in this world that we live in, most of us at least have limits to what's possible. And whether those limits are self-made or whether those limits come from some other source, there's some sense of a limit. I grew up in an era where we did Christmas gift exchanges at school each year, and you would get a name of a fellow class member, or they would each person would bring a gift in, and there would be some way of redistributing that so that everybody had a gift from somebody else. But in all of those exchanges, there was generally a limit placed on. And most of my school years, it was a dollar. I think there were, by the time I finished in classes where that was taking place, it might have gone up to $5, but one of the most sought after gifts, and you could recognize it the way it was shaped and wrapped, was a Lifesavers book of candy. And back in those days, at least, it would have 10 rolls of Lifesavers in it. And that's what you hoped you got. Now, the crazy part is though everybody was hoping that's what they got, very few were actually buying it and bringing it. And I suspect part of it is most of those years we weren't buying it. Our parents were. But there was a limit placed by somebody, and invariably some family would exceed that, and somebody would get something that far exceeded the value that what everybody else had. But for the most part, we operated under that limit. And we kind of live life believing that there's this limit on what we can do. And yet when God comes along, He speaks with the expectation that we will be helping those in need. Now, granted, we create a lot of needs in our own life that I'm not sure Jesus would have considered to be that much of a need. We live life in a culture and a society where we believe that we need a car. I don't see any indication that Jesus and His disciples got around by any means other than walking. Definitely no car. But the difficulty with our needs is we like to define how they're met. And the need might be to get to some place, transportation kind of thing. We define this is how you ought to meet it for me. But there may be other ways that that can be accomplished. But when we focus so much on redefining the needs of ourselves, the needs of others, we miss the full instruction of Jesus to give generously and not for attention. This passage out of Matthew that we read earlier talks about not letting our left hand know what our right hand is doing. It's teaching this principle of not really tooting our own horn. Sometimes we give to any specific need in a way that, well, we'll give if they'll put a plaque up. We'll give if we'll get notice. We'll give if we're honored. And God's desire is that we learn to help those in need in a way that actually helps them, rather than in a way that's designed as a publicity stunt. And sometimes it becomes a fine line between making the need known or recruiting others by sharing what's going on and not drawing attention to ourselves. When our expectation is media coverage, then I'm not sure whether we're doing it for those in need or we're doing it for ourselves. And God knows the heart. He knows the motives. And sometimes that media coverage shows up just because something good is being done, and that's unusual. But this work of giving, we talked about that yesterday, the work, the worship, the obedience, the responsibility, and the kindness. It ought to flow through every aspect of our giving. And so when we encounter those in need, there ought to be elements of worship, elements of obedience, elements of responsibility and kindness, all woven through what our godly response is. And when we step back and evaluate what we're doing or what we're not doing, and we discover that those elements aren't existent, we may need to spend a little more time with God and His Word, learning how to give in a way that honors Him God's desire is that we share. And not so much because others need what we have, but because we need others. The sharing is designed by God so that we learn to value one another. We teach our children to share, at least most of us do, because it's the right thing to do. Because it teaches them that the other person has value. What they need at the moment, what they want at the moment, has value as well as their own value. And just because they want to play with that specific truck the entire time and not let anyone else touch it, they're not what life's all about. Their friends, their classmates, their siblings have value too. You see, God can provide all things to all people in all ways at any time that He chooses. And yet He's chosen to create us in a way that we need one another, that others need us and we need them. And learning to give to those in need is a part of this sharing that God designed for us so that we get along, so that we value one another, so that we understand the purpose of fellowship. I believe that if you follow through Scripture, the primary responsibility is that we give to those in need that are part of our family. We care for those that God has given direct responsibility to us. And then we take that next step to those that are within our circles of encounters throughout the week. And family is our family, but family is also our church family. And it doesn't exclude the responsibility, if we have the means, to care for those that are unbelievers, to care for those that are strangers. The God makes it clear that many have entertained angels unaware by caring for the needs of strangers. But the expectation is that we care for the household of God first, because they're family. And as the household of God, we care for our community because we live in it. And when we learn the spirit of generosity, we move from a position of trying to narrow down who I have to help to one of expanding who I get to help. And the needs of others are so varied. And most of the time, because of our busyness, because of the distractions of this world, if we see any need at all, we tend to evaluate in the terms of dollars and cents. And if we're able, we help financially and we walk away. But giving to those in need is not simply about giving money. It's about understanding the need. Sometimes the need is financial. Sometimes the need is emotional. It's spiritual. It's psychological. It's often a combination of all of those things, or a variety of those things. And giving to those in need, if we only help one aspect of the actual need, it's help, and it may be all that we're able to help. But if what they really need is someone to listen to their story, and we give them a $5 bill and walk away. Have we really given to those in need? You see, God's desire is that we do this in a way that doesn't allow ourselves to get the credit. The desire is that God gets the credit. We give, we share, not because we're so good, not because we're so wealthy, but because God's so good. And God owns all that we have. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love has given us what we need in order to not only live, but in order to have something to share. And Father, I think of the examples throughout the New Testament where Paul would write to various churches and talk about their giving, which would well up out of extreme poverty. But even out of their extreme poverty, there was a desire to help those in need. And so, God, today I pray that you would help us to live with that desire. Regardless of our bank accounts, regardless of our own need, that desire to share, to help those in need, to give according to the need, but also to give according to how you've supplied in our life. As we mentioned in the message yesterday, Father, the example of Peter and John being asked to give money to this crippled man, and something they did not have. But the response of Peter, that what we do have, we will give you. And what they had was Jesus. And what they had was what this man really needed, even more than he needed money. It enabled and empowered the man to get up and walk and to go about life in a way he could likely provide for himself. Not because he was so good or powerful, but because you were so good in his life. And so, Father, as we consider what we have, as we consider what you've put into our life, and we include not just the stuff of this life, but the spiritual element of your spirit living within us, may we more accurately evaluate how we can help, how we can give, how we can share. May we see the needs of ourselves, may we see the needs of others in a different light as we consider the brothers and sisters in Christ, the community that we live in, the family that we are a part of. And Father, in all of this, may you give us the humility to give without seeking credit, without demanding honor, without embarrassing those who have needs. Father, may our giving be done in a way that honors you, in a way that's obedient to you, in a way that is responsible, in a way that shows kindness. And Father, in all of that giving that we're able to do, in the way that we share with others, may Jesus be at the center of it, so that as we lift him up, that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Monday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.